Monday, October 10th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, the publication Newsbreak had an article written by Daniela Altamari in which she brings up the issue of Christian nationalism. Harry, this term Christian nationalism seems to be increasingly prevalent in our conversations, especially within the church. What exactly is it?
I, like you, all of a sudden I start seeing this term Christian nationalist, and I'm wondering, what in the world are you talking about? Clearly was being used in a pejorative sense. It was demeaning of anyone to which it was applied. To those who use it and to those who are propagating it, it seems to me to be simply another politically motivated attempt to marginalize any Christian who wants to participate in the public sphere or who wants to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And so what they seem to be doing is, if you're a Christian and you think that Christ is Lord of your life and governs everything. Now, of course, you know why we do that, don't you? Because the Bible tells us, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible tells us we're to be salt of the world. We're to be a light in the world. The Bible tells us that Christ is to be preeminent in all things. So what they are attempting to do with a sleight of hand is to say that because we honor Christ in the public square with public policy, then what you're doing is trying to make this into a, quote, Christian nation, and you attempt to rewrite history as if this has always been a Christian nation. This requires a little bit of reasoning. Do I believe that Christianity was the major motivational and defining dynamic in the founding of this nation? Absolutely, I do. That doesn't take hard to defend historically. The Great Awakening from 1735 to 1765, the comments, the references, the footnotes of life and work of our founding fathers, of those in the Constitutional Congress. But by the way, those that were acknowledging the impact of Christianity in the American experiment, from the three offices of the government to rule by law to the framework of the law of the Constitution, which four times references God, the Declaration of Independence, whereby our independence is declared because of God-given liberties, the impact of Christianity is so obvious that you absolutely have to embrace imbecility in your attempt to deny it. The government was not to pick winners and losers in religion. It was to protect the free practice of religion. Now, they felt that was necessary because without religion, you don't really ever have morality. That is, ought to's, ethical absolutes. You have to have a lawgiver to have a law. But secondly, they didn't want the government to be the one to determine what religion was right. They were to protect the right of religions to go to the public square in debate. What this movement called freedom from religion, that has invented this term, Christian nationalism and Christian nationalists, to place as a moniker over any politician or any policy that references Christianity or that affirms that they are Christians, the candidates, then what they are attempting to do is to say that America must be secular. That is, America must live outside of the sacred. When the reality is, our founding father said, no, 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 America exists under God. We're not a theocracy, but we are a theistic nation. And therefore, while we do not legislate Christianity, Christianity has influenced historically our legislation, and that's why we've got a run that outlasts almost all empires of now approaching over 250 years.
Harry, I always expect there to be an opposition to the gospel going out, so it doesn't surprise me that Freedom From Religion Foundation is propagating this idea. What concerns me, though, Harry, is the number of times you see this coming from evangelical churches, the same rhetoric.
They're not thinking, or they've been co-opted by the culture. Again, evangelical churches have been impacted by progressive Christianity, which, in the desire to be a culture player, ends up with cultural accommodation. And one of the things that they're accommodating is a denial of the history and the role of Christianity in the foundation, formation, and continuation in this nation. Freedom from religion is a factual and illogical fallacy. Secularism is a religion. You, by faith, have adopted a certain set of values that you believe in. One of those is that the church and the family are negative influences and need to be marginalized. It doesn't belong in the public square. That is so un-American and, by the way, un-Christian, because as Christians, while we go into the public square and die for other people to participate in the public square, we also know that we have a right to be in the public square for the exchange of ideas concerning public theology and public policy.
Harry, let me give you some examples that this organization, Freedom From Religion Foundation, cites as their reason why Christian nationalism is here and why it is bad. The first place they go to is the state you're in right now, Alabama. They say that the legislature in 2019 passed one of the strictest anti-abortion laws in the nation. Therefore, this is an example of Christian nationalism.
Let me tell you something else that they passed in the state of Alabama that came into existence in 1819. You shall not murder. Well, guess what? That's in the Ten Commandments. Now, what is the abortion law? The abortion law is consistent with the one that was placed in our original Constitution. You shall not murder, and you shall not murder the preborn. That was not the church engaged. Did the church and Christianity influence the ethical absolute that you promote life, you protect life, and you don't murder? Yes, Christianity has been involved in influencing that. Are we telling you have to go to church on Sunday? No. Are we telling you have to be baptized and become a Christian to be a citizen of Alabama? No. But do we take public policy and debate it?
Let me cite for you some of the things that they say they do embrace. Again, this is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They say that we speak out against faith-based policies in the public sphere and that we're promoting secular values. They go on to say, I am an atheist and I vote.
By the way, we actually believe and promote the fact that you should vote. And we actually believe that you as an atheist should get into the debate on public policies. What you don't want is to have a free debate because you can't contend with the logic and the consistency of a biblical world and life view in public policy. You want to rule out the Christians' communication. We actually want your debate, but you don't want ours. Why? Is it perhaps because you know that the secular values lead to a culture of insanity and absurdity? Just like theism is a religion with its various expressions, atheism is a religion. I believe that nothing created something. That's a step of faith. That's what you believe.
Harry, this is not going away. How is the Christian to approach this and handle this issue?
You just can't be governed by fear, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to frighten you into silence. If you enter into the debate on public policy from a biblical foundation and argue from the presuppositions of the truth of Scripture, then we're going to call you something. We're going to call you a Christian nationalist. You got to stand firm, stand up, stand tall, and speak out. Hopefully, you'll have the courage in the Lord to own Christ in every arena of life, including your citizenship, and honor Christ out of loving the Lord and loving your neighbor. Whether they're believers or not, in the public square, we're going to love you by speaking for public policy that promotes human flourishing because our neighbors are made in the image of God. And the church uses the ministry of preaching and teaching and sharing and love and gospel deeds to win people to Christ that they might know Christ and serve Him with all of their life.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.